The views in this podcast are the participants' own and are not the views of their respective companies. Welcome to Aerox The Legacy Life, the podcast asking, what does a career in runoff insurance or reinsurance actually look like? I'm your host, Kitty Reynolds, and today we are talking to Lee Vu, Vice President of Reinsurance Claims at Argo and Founder and Board President of the Multicultural Reinsurance Insurance Association, or MRIA. Lee, we are so excited to have you here today. Thank you for joining us. I want to jump right in. Why don't you just describe your role for our listeners? What do you do as a vice president of reinsurance claims?
Awesome. Thank you so much, Katie, and the Next Gen for this podcast. I really am so excited to be here. All right, let's dive right in. So my role here at Argo as VP of reinsurance claims on the ceded side is pretty much really to look at everything we have from a reinsurance standpoint, from a loss perspective, and make sure we are communicating those details out to our trading partners, our reinsurers, and making sure we are adhering to treaty contracts that we have and doing our reporting, billing, and collections in adhering to those aspects of that.
And how did you get where you are today? What has your career path looked like?
That's an interesting question. And let's start this as, like most people, we all get into insurance or reinsurance through happenstance, right? Through someone we know, and kind of similar in that aspect. But where I did start off in the industry was as an executive assistant to a C-suite executive who was brought in for the company I worked for to start up their ceded reinsurance department. So on the administrative side, but also starting in the ceded re area of a company that I had no idea what really insurance or lines of business that they were in. And it kind of just started from there.
Okay. So you've just started as an executive assistant and just worked your way up to the VP of ceded. That's pretty cool.
It's interesting in the sense of, like, I've always took challenges on, right? Even as an executive assistant, just not knowing anything about what I was doing. And as an admin, you're like, okay, you kind of know what you are, but right out of college, you're like, what do I really do? Right. Except for, I remember when I first started, I used to sit there because he used to work really late and I didn't know what time to like leave, even though it was like a typical 9 to 5. I used to sit at my desk until like 6-7 o'clock at night. As long as he was there, I was there. Yeah. And I think as I started to grow into my role as his EA, I got to know all the different people within the group, right? And learning what each and every person did in that group and how I could help them in what they did, but at the same time, learn. And as I grew, it was kind of that. It's really asking a lot of questions about what is reinsurance. And if anyone was to ask me now, like, I could have an answer. But if you asked me back then, I had no idea. I was just like, I don't know. Let me tell you, let me bring you to someone who knows what it is. So as I grew into that, I had the ability to move into other areas, and claims was one of them. So as we talk about my journey as an admin for a good 5+ years, I had the ability to move into reinsurance claims or ceded reinsurance claims and manage that process from start to finish of reporting, billing, collections, and also managing the reinsurance audits, where reinsurers would come in to do audits of the company and the claim handling. And it's the same concept. I saw my reinsurers as a point of contact to learn from them. I asked a lot of questions, what they did, how they do it, what they look at. So it gave me an understanding of not just from what I did from my role, right, internally at the company, but also externally what these people were looking at. And as I learned from there, networking has been a big key for me to really get to know these people. And I will say, all those people that I knew back then, and this is going back to the early 2000s, I still know these people to this day and consider them friends, which is amazing to have that. And I think one thing we forget at times is the industry is really relationship driven. And there is that aspect of it that has been so helpful to me, where people have asked me, hey, I have an open role. Are you interested? and doors have opened from that. And that's kind of where it has taken me here today.
Okay. So the one thing I know that you're excited to talk about, I'm excited to talk about Emriah. Tell me all about it. What is it? How did you get involved?
This is something that I love to talk about because I think it's something that I'm passionate about. And I think you can see, and I think people can see through my LinkedIn, how passionate I am when it comes down to diversity, equity, and inclusion, and especially in the reinsurance sector, right? There was a quote from one of our executive advisors of Emriah, Ron Hamilton, who works at Swiss. And when I was at a conference, he said, in insurance, you're the only person in the room. In reinsurance, you could be the only person in the building, right? And that, when you say that, you're just like, you take a step back and you're like, whoa, is that really true? And from my perspective, it really is. And it hasn't really changed much. So the idea of Emriah was an idea that started during the pandemic, really. I think a lot of people took time to really reevaluate different things within their life, whether professionally or personally. And for me professionally, I was looking to say, the social landscape has changed so much. But like what I'm doing on a day-to-day basis, is it something that I still enjoy, which I did, but does there need to be some change after everything that has happened socially? I said, yes. And, you know, discussions came from that. And the idea of creating a group to highlight reinsurance, not only insurance, but including reinsurance in that conversation was where it got started. And it really was to build a group that was for like-minded individuals, but for groups that were considered underrepresented within the industry. And the term underrepresented can mean so many different things to so many different people. So it kind of gave us an avenue to really build something that was different than what I've ever seen within the industry as a whole.
So what is it? Can you just describe what it is for our listeners that Emriah is and what does it do?
Great question. I appreciate that. So our mission is that we're a global platform where ideas become actionable. And when we say actionable, we take different aspects of DEI and looking to change that perspective for the industry, right? And when we first got started, it was really to look at different organizations within the industry and see what things they were doing and what is it that we would have wanted to see, right? And we started and took the action of looking at it and changing what a board of an industry organization would look like, right? So most organizations, you would have a board that has a singular purpose, and that singular purpose is perfect for what they are doing. But when we talk about diversity and inclusion more so, right, it needs to look like what I think it should look like. And if you look at our board right now, it is diverse. It is inclusive of different ethnicities, different races. And we wanted to make sure if we're going to come out with an organization like this, that we start from the top down. And that is a big part of it. The other part of it is to also bring awareness to other organizations that are out there. That's why we say we've become that global platform, because we have been working and in talks with a lot of different other organizations in different regions to really highlight the things that they're doing and bring awareness to them, collaborate with them, partner with them. And it is a networking organization too, where our members from our board to our executive advisors, and what is unique with us is that we have junior board members, right? When we talk about bringing new talent into the industry, bringing young professionals into the industry, how do we do that? And when we came together as a group, we said, you know, why not create a junior board? These young professionals, it would take them years to even be a board member of any organization. So why not start it now? Give them the platform and bring them to the table, right? And have them join an organization that really fits into what their morals are, like of being and giving back and paying it forward to others. So we have junior board members who sit in every board meeting with us. So they get to see what a nonprofit board for an insurance reinsurance industry really looks like. And it's giving them a seat at the table that they probably wouldn't have had before that. So a big key of it, like to answer your question, is to connect, support, empower. Network is a big key. Collaboration, partnerships, all those aspects, I think, all come together of what we are truly about.
Listeners didn't get to hear this, but we've previously discussed. Lee showed me this huge list of organizations that are for different groups of people, some of which are very new, some have been around for a while. I certainly had not heard of a lot of them. And it's amazing that you're kind of collecting all of these groups and just identifying them so that, yeah, you can network, you can collaborate in whatever way you want, because now at least you've identified them. And I'm assuming our listeners, if there's, you know, any interest there, they could go out and find certain groups that they might want to connect with more or something like that, if they have some sort of initiative or something they're looking for. So definitely a great resource there. I want to go back to your junior board. So they're sitting in on meetings, and I know the organization is still fairly new, but what sorts of things do you see them doing? What sorts of projects are they working on? What sorts of things are they going to be doing in the future?
So the role that we have them as of right now is to put them in a partnership, right, and collaborate with an actual board member. So we have four junior board members. One will kind of work with our treasurer, because that's kind of what they like. They like numbers. So they've also been a treasurer on another board from like their days in college. So it kind of pairing them up with certain board members that align with what they like to do. So we have other junior board members that will work with our check chair and kind of work on our website, look at our membership. How do we tailor that? How do we streamline certain things when it comes down to technology? We have others who will work with our secretary, right? They wanted at one point in time to go to law school. And now it kind of gives them an avenue to work with an attorney and see what it is to put notes together for a meeting. I remember doing that as an EA, right? Of taking notes in a meeting. And it's an art to be able to listen to things and hone in on the key points and put it on paper and send it out. You know, it's so certain skill sets that we don't think about, but I feel like it's crucial for them in their learning phase to understand, like, there are so many different pieces when you're on a board of an organization that you need to do. And there are certain key things that you need to follow as well. Like, we have bylaws, we have board minutes, we have to do approvals of those minutes whenever we have the next one. And it's constantly something going on. And I think it keeps them intrigued to see how much work goes into something. But at the same time, when they're there, they just want to dive in and ask all these questions and add value, right? From their own opinions, their comments. And also it gives us as a board the ability to listen and hear them and see them for who they are and take their ideas to heart and know that we're actually listening to them, because they are the next generation. And if we want them to be the next level of professionals within the industry and keep this going, we need to be able to pay it forward, show them things that we have done and give them the opportunities to be able to do that the same thing and have guidance at the same time. Because we're also there to answer whatever questions they have outside of MRIA, right? If they're doing certain things and they want to get to know someone in a certain area or a certain company, us as board members, we have those relationships. That is also a benefit to them to be on our board, is that we give them those opportunities and we do introductions for them. When we go out to events, I introduce them, you know, to different people that they wouldn't have access to.
So that sounds like a great way to keep young professionals interested in the industry, to teach them, to give them connections. How do we get young professionals or new talent into the insurance industry? Any ideas there?
I think this is like the, like, I feel like this is like the $1 million question that everyone is asking. And personally, from my own perspective, I feel like there are a lot of avenues. And of course, starting it early, some of them, you know, start at the high school level, right? There's certain key schools that you can go out and target those specific schools, whether it's in the tri-state area or different states, you have that ability. I think there are colleges and universities now where they have more of a focus on insurance and risk management, St. John's being one of them. You know, Naya Ngozi works with Fisk University, which is another one, which I just heard about. It's those conversations and really getting to know other people who are doing other different things to know where we can focus our efforts to bring in young professionals. And I think talking to them is just giving them an area or an industry that they never thought about, right? Because most people who think about insurance, it's like, oh, is it car insurance? Like, do you do car insurance? Do you do life insurance? And it's sharing your stories of how exciting this industry is truly. And, you know, we were just at AIROC. We just did a quick panel of kind of like similar conversation. And I say insurance and reinsurance, it's like a soap opera. The transaction starts one place, but it can continue on for decades. And it's the same concept. So when we say things like that, I think it invokes curiosity. And when you can do that, it allows them to ask more questions about what it is. And then slowly you get to tailor those conversations to what they like. And maybe that's a way to say, hey, have you ever thought about, if you like numbers, have you ever thought about, you know, being in finance? Have you ever thought about being an actuary? And this is what they do. Sharing those pieces of information, not just saying, hey, you should do this, but also explaining to them what it is that we do, that I think could be more beneficial in communicating those ideas where they never thought about it before.
Any advice for young professionals or people who are looking to get into the insurance industry? Anything that's worked particularly well for you?
Yeah. I will say create relationships with people who are doing what you want to do, right? Or if you don't know what they do, just find out. And it could be, you know, just like anything, I feel like when you go out to dinners, people will automatically shy away from something that they have never tried before. But how would you know if you don't like it, if you haven't tried it? So, you know, I would put the challenge out there. Like, have you ever known anyone who works in the insurance or reinsurance world? If you don't, then start the conversation. Once you start the conversation and you find your area that you may like, find who's doing it and doing it well and learn from them. That's something that I have done most of my career and still to this day. The people who I surround myself with are people who are smarter than me, who are doing the things that I want to aspire to do. And each role that I've gotten into at this point is because the people who were doing that, I learned from them and it allowed me to learn. And at that, open up a door and connect with people who I wouldn't have access to. So take the time to network, take the time to develop those relationships and continue those relationships. And sometimes you don't need to talk to these people every day, but every once in a while, you should reach out, whether it be a phone call, whether it's meeting up for coffee, for lunch, whatever it may be, but have that face time because I feel it's really valuable, especially now that we're back to what we consider normal at this point to get together with people in person. And I think a lot of people miss that, even the young professionals. They like it. They ask a lot of questions. They're curious. How about we just intrigue that curiosity and see where it goes?
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Lee. Thank you for your time and your insights. And with that, I'm going to cue the music and close this thing out. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Katie.
AIROC Next Gen is part of AIROC, the only U.S.-based association focusing on the legacy or runoff sector of the insurance and reinsurance industries. AROC serves the industry by providing education, networking, information, and data. Learn more about what we do at www.aroc.org. That's A-I-R-R-O-C.org. Thank you, and we'll see you next time.